When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Mike Kay from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, where we discuss anything and everything Philadelphia Eagles. You can read our content on nj.com/eagles, bookmark that, and you can subscribe to our exclusive Eagles Insider Tech Service, where we'll break news, give you insider observations, and provide in-depth analysis. Through Eagles Extra, you can send questions and comments directly to us, and we'll respond to your phone. With me today, as always, is my fellow Eagles beat reporter, Chris Franklin. Today, we're going to discuss the Super Bowl, free agency, and we'll talk about the coaching staff a little bit. But before we do that, Chris, how you doing today?
Not bad, man. It's weird to think that we witnessed last week the end of the NFL season, man. It's craziness. It didn't disappoint with that Super Bowl or anything else, man. How are you doing? How was it out there in LA?
I mean, it wasn't exactly where the players play, but no, it was fun. You know, got to go out to West Hollywood a little bit, went to Hollywood Boulevard, did some of the sightseeing. I had been out to L.A. once before as an adult when the Eagles played the Rams at the Coliseum, but really didn't get to explore. I kind of got in the day of because my wife was pregnant and I just didn't want to risk it, and there was a lot going on. And then before that, I had been at like 17 or 18, and they did a media party at Universal. Got to go to that was pretty cool. Got to go on the lot tour where they showed me where the new Bel Air show is being taped and all that stuff. And I hadn't done that since I was about 17. And for those who don't know, originally I wanted to go to school for directing and producing movies and TV, and wrote a couple of screenplays. So it kind of made my heart feel good to kind of be in La La Land a little bit. But you know, the game was cool. The halftime show was tremendous.
Yes.
They piped it into the press box, and I was initially concerned because, like, you couldn't hear the Star Spangled Banner. You couldn't hear the national anthem. The Rams have, or I guess the Rams and Chargers, SoFi has, like, a windowed-in press box, which seems kind of weird, especially in a dome, but I mean, it was cool. Like, it was a cool experience. It was hot as heck out there. Saw a lot of Eagles fans at the airport on the way out. It just seems like they're fans of the game and they wanted to come out. But look, it was cool. There were only a few of us from Philly out there, but it was good to see some of those familiar faces as well. Look, the game was really fun. I mean, I think a lot of people are acting like there's not a lot of great moments out of that game, but I think the Stafford no-look pass is going to be a play that we talk about for a very long time. I think Aaron Donald's disruption up front is going to be huge. I think both the T. Higgins touchdowns are things that are going to be debated about Jalen Ramsey for the next couple of months. So, look, it was a cool first Super Bowl to cover. As a lot of you guys remember, I came in the middle of the week two of 2018, so I missed the Eagles Super Bowl. I was covering Jacksonville at the time and would have gone had the Patriots lost to the Jaguars. But anyway, it was cool. It was cool. It was good seeing a lot of my friends from around the league and everything. That said, got to see Darius Slay out there. He seemed like he was doing well. Saw my good buddy Jonathan Cyprian, who briefly played for the Eagles before being traded to the Falcons for Duke Riley. So, I mean, look, there was a lot of cool things going on out there. I got there late. I got there Friday, so I didn't really get to be on Radio Row for that long. Got to talk to Sean O'Hara from the Giant, the former Giant Center. But yeah, I mean, look, it was a cool experience, and I wouldn't trade it for many things. But Chris, let's talk about the combine, because obviously you and I are both draft nuts and football nuts in general. But for those who don't know, when you go to the combine as a media member, you're mostly there to talk to players and scout, or sorry, talk to players and GMs and coaches. They make them available. Hopefully that's the case this year. Obviously there's been rumors about a bubble. I believe it'll be your first combine that you're going to. It's a good opportunity to kind of get to know these players. Obviously I got to know some of them at the Senior Bowl. The combine's a very, it lacks in intimacy, to be honest, unless you find a guy who's like sitting alone or with one person. It's largely like a group setting and you're in kind of like a scrum and everything like that. But who are you most excited to see at the combine? Is there a position that you're going to be really looking at for the Eagles? What's going on there?
I mean, if it came to a position, the one thing I'm really, really looking forward to are the cornerbacks, especially with so much uncertainty that's going on right now with the Eagles, being that they could have as many as three new starters in the secondary if they decide to move on from Rodney McLeod. And we know Steve Nelson and Anthony Harris are free agents. So that's a position of need, a position they can definitely build upon. So I'm looking forward to seeing Ahmad Gardner, Andrew Booth. I know he probably won't fall down to the Eagles, but Derek Stingley Jr. from LSU. I'm really excited to see that crop of defensive backs. And I think I've written before, as you guys read on NJ.com, definitely seeing the I'm really high on Kyle Hamilton, safety out of Notre Dame too. So I want to see how well he's coming back from his knee injury that he suffered early in the regular season that cost him a lot of games. So that's one and I believe they go on Saturday. They actually work out Sunday, I believe, and we get to talk to them on Saturday. The other thing is obviously the quarterback position. I mean, there's been so much speculation going around with, are the Eagles still looking to potentially draft? Was it Kenny Pickett? Whether it's Malik Willis? I want to see how these guys produce and see how they do with the bright lights on them and the scrutiny of all 32 teams looking at them, as well as the media members and the fans watching them too. So I want to see how much zip they have on the ball, how they take direction, because I think that's a key part of it as well too. And also just overall, just talking, getting to know some of these guys too, because there's a lot of stories that we may see briefly, but when you talk to some of these guys and you start to learn more about them, you start to learn their backgrounds, the situation they came out from. Hopefully no team asks them any weird questions like they have in the past. But if they do, trying to see if they do that and just seeing, trying to get a landscape or a skeleton of what some of the teams are looking for and needs from here in the future, man. What about you? Is there a specific position or group of players that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I think the running backs were really impressive in Mobile, but what I'm really looking at is the wide receiver group. I think it's become like a long-running joke in Philadelphia about the first-round wideouts. Those intrigue me. I'm interested in the safeties. A lot of safeties and corners made positive impressions in Mobile. I just kind of think, like, when you're looking at the overall landscape, it's really interesting. I think linebacker is an interesting position. I think some people are being a little bit overzealous with their positive projections of the linebacker class. People I've talked to aren't necessarily that high on the linebacker group. But I think the edge rushers are always something that I look at, because the three cone to me is the most important drill when it comes to wide receivers, corners, and defensive ends. And particularly with defensive ends, if you run the three cone at less than 7.1 seconds, you've got elite speed and elite bend. And I think that that's something the Eagles really need to pay attention to, especially if they're going to potentially replace Derek Barnett as one of the top three defensive ends on the team. Now let's get into free agency. I've seen a lot of stuff from you know, other analysts and other reporters that the free agency group doesn't look that great. And while I kind of agree with that, I do think the Eagles are in an interesting spot where I don't think, outside of safety and linebacker, they're not like in a dire need for upgrades from a starting standpoint, right? Like Quez Watkins is a guy that Sirianni really likes. Yes, they should upgrade that position, but I don't think they feel like they have a gun to their head. Same with right guard. I feel like if they had to go in with Jack Driscoll, Nate Herbig, and Isaac Seumalo competing, they would be fine with that. I think a defensive tackle, they feel fine as long as they have Fletcher, as long as they hold on to Fletcher Cox. A defensive end, they're going to have Brandon Graham and Josh Sweat. They should upgrade the depth there, but I don't know if there's really that option. I think you want to supplement the roster, not necessarily, you know, go 2 feet in, because then you have the problems that you've had before. I think Marcus Williams and Justin Reed are two guys at safety that I think they really should target. I do think there will be wide receiver options. I think people are really stoked about Mike Williams and Christian Kirk. I think their range is probably going to be more like Allen Robinson to Zach Pascal. But I think, you know, I do think they will upgrade several positions this offseason. I just think it's a matter of how you're going to go about it. Is there a certain position that you think they absolutely need a veteran and it's not about the rookie class?
Well, I definitely do. I think, and you mentioned it, touched on it briefly when it came to the wide receiver. I think when you look at, I mean, Devonta Smith even came out and said that he was looking to, he'd be very open to it as well, too. I think when you look at that room, they've used a lot of assets. Grant, they've used a lot of assets to try to bolster that position. You use 2 first-round picks, and as you mentioned, Quez Watkins, and you have Greg Ward, but we know you don't know his standing right now for the long term. I don't think they have to go big, hit the home run thing. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see Chris Godwin with this team because I think he's a very dynamic guy, but I don't see the Eagles as just one player away, because I think Godwin's a piece you add if you think like, hey, you know what, next year you're going to be a Super Bowl team. And I know he has the ACL thing, but if he recovers in time, do that way too. I think a guy like, I really like Mike Williams, because I really think this team really needs a bigger presence in the red zone. And bit by bigger, I mean like physically, because you don't have the biggest wide receivers in there and it's a tight window. So a guy who can not only try to grab up the 50-50 ball, but also try to work in those tight windows as well too, to get open, and it's physical down there. So I like guys like Mike Williams, but I would be open as well too to a guy like T.Y. Hilton, just a veteran presence, knows what Nick Sirianni likes in the offense. He can be the mentor for a year for a lot of the younger receivers. And then from there, you just bring him in for a 1-year contract, and then from there you move on. I think edge rusher is another position that they can look for, or a linebacker. I mean, that's the thing with this. The Eagles can quickly solve a lot of their issues via with the combination through the draft and free agency. But overall, I think I don't think they need to hammer it home and put themselves in cap hell for the next 2 or 3 years just to try to make a quick run. I think if they build a foundation through the draft, continue to work that way, use 2 or 3 of those first round picks and the rest of those 11 draft picks overall that they have, I think they can go a long way forward. And then in 2023, you get the big name wide receiver once you have the room to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I would do, look, they've got a lot of cap space relative to last year, right? They don't have a lot of cap space relative to the rest of the league. I believe there's 12 to 15 teams that have more cap space. So as far as, you know, competing for a guy, it's going to be difficult. It's kind of going to be like Byron Jones, where the Eagles really wanted Byron. They had plenty of cap space and they really wanted Byron Jones, but the Dolphins had way more cap space, so they were able to do specific things the Eagles weren't. The Eagles, quote unquote, settled for Darius Slay, who's played better than Byron Jones in the past 2 years. And on top of that, they also got Javon Hargrave. So, I mean, it's interesting. I think they'll do something similar to what they did a couple of years ago, where they really target 2 specific veterans that they really want, and they'll readjust if they're not able to land one of them. I think Marcus Williams just makes so much sense for them. He's a ball hawk. He can, you know, force fumbles. He's a very good tackler. He's very efficient. He could be a tone setter in the secondary. And then I think, you know, you look at linebacker and you look at wide receiver and you're saying to yourself, well, maybe they should pull an Alshon Jeffery, sign a guy to a 1-year deal, and if he plays well, you extend him midseason. I mean, hopefully you have better sense of what he can do than they did with Alshon Jeffery, but, you know, I do think they really need to improve their slot position pretty handedly. Nick Sirianni's goal. I mean, Nick Sirianni's passion project in Indianapolis was Zach Pascal. It would not shock me if they were interested in him. I think Allen Robinson makes a lot of sense because he can play all three positions. Christian Kirk, if they could get him, slam dunk. But I don't know if you can get him. And that's like the thing. I think when you look at Marcus Williams, right, I think he's definitely going to hit free agency because the Saints are like negative 70 in a million in cap space. So it wouldn't shock me if they went after him. I think, when you look at the guard group, it's interesting, but I don't know if you're kind of, running to sign a guard. I personally wouldn't. I don't believe in paying guards that you haven't developed yourself. They seem fine at left and right tackle. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Andre Dillard. As I wrote about today, if they want to trade Andre Dillard, they're probably going to want to do it when the team that's acquiring him will have the option to pick up his fifth year option. You want to be able to give that team flexibility, which in turn gives you more return value, hopefully. I think they're not going to go after a veteran quarterback in free agency. Maybe, they're able to swing something for Russell Wilson. We'll see. I don't see why they would add a veteran running back. I don't really think they're going to add a veteran tight end unless it's somebody who can be like that Richard Rodgers third type. So I think the money really needs to go into the defense. It needs to go in the secondary. If you feel like Anthony Barr is a guy who can give you something in that, Jannard Avery role and maybe sometimes play Will, maybe you feel good about that and you sign him to a one-year deal and hopefully he works out. He's 30 years old. He's a guy who has a connection to the staff with Nick Rallis. And you don't know how much longer Gannon and Rallis are going to be here, so you sign him to a one-year deal. Mike Zimmer's taking the year off, so the familiarity for Barr isn't really there, and he's kind of a unique player. I think you could get a nice rotational defensive end, but it's not going to be anyone who's going to, surge. So I think, as I move around a lot, which you guys can probably hear, I think the Eagles are in an interesting spot. Like maybe it's that they upgrade both safety spots. Maybe that's their plan. And then the draft, all they have to do is really worried about getting a cornerback number two and a linebacker on defense and maybe an edge rusher. And if those are the three positions they target in the first round, well, there you go. And then the rest of the draft, they can focus on offense and that's seven other picks. So, I think their options are pretty wide open. I don't think the class is that impressive. I don't think they're going to sign, I don't think they're going to sign guys for $15 million a year, but I do think there are some really interesting depth pieces and potential upgrades at safety that they could really look at. We've kind of rambled on a little bit, but I kind of wanted to get your thoughts just on the coaching staff. So the coaching staff sticking together, as we know, right now, I did think there would be some movement. I was kind of surprised that we didn't see anything different at wide receiver, maybe even the defensive line. Do you think it's the right move to kind of keep everybody together for one more season just because last season was so, it was half COVID centric. It was a really young coaching staff, all that stuff. What's your take on the coaching staff staying together as of now?
Well, I think you do give them both sides, both offense and defense, one more year to fully implement and let the guys that they do have returning get used to the system and what was expected of them. It takes a little bit, especially when you have a new staff, it takes a little bit to digest the new terminology, the way that certain coaches like certain assignments done and how they like it executed. So the fact that they have the staff returning back, I think, is a good thing. Now, if we start to see regression in some of their key areas, primarily when it comes to the wide receiver position, when it comes to, say, defensive back play, linebacker play, what have you, if you start to see regression, then I think you really truly make a move. And I wouldn't be surprised if something happens on defense in 2023, either way, if they do have a good year or bad, because I really think after seeing this recent cycle and how revered Jonathan Gannon is across this league, I think he's getting a job next year. I truly think he's getting a job next year. I really do. So the Eagles may have to go and find a new defensive coach there. Then they can revamp their their position coaches once again. And then if he has a bad year, I could see them going a whole another route, and then you're getting a new position coach no matter what. But I think that's it's the right play. It's give him one more year and you go from there. Because I think if you continue to upset the cart and just changing coaches to change coaches, like tweaking here and there, and you have to make continuing changes, I think you'll get in like basically 3 years of mixed messages from players, and it can hurt them long term. I mean, what do you think? You think it was the right move to keep the whole staff intact, or do you think they could possibly make a couple changes even after this season?
Well, I think you look at Zach Taylor's situation in Cincinnati. The Bengals were extremely patient, and it paid off with the trip to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying the same thing's going to happen with Nick Sirianni, but Nick Sirianni was exponentially more successful as a first-year head coach than Zach Taylor was. So I think you've got to ride that wave of optimism. I don't think firing anybody off a playoff run when you weren't expected to do much is a really great way to go about business. I could see there being some minor changes. Maybe they add somebody to fill Jim Bob Cooter's spot as an analyst. But no, I think continuity is important. I talked to Darius Slay about it in LA, and he said it's important because then you get to know the defense a little bit better. You're more well prepared. You've been in it for a year. So I think it's a solid, not spectacular move. Like, I would understand changes in certain areas. I would find it odd to make changes in other areas. So I'm kind of like on the fence there. I don't think it's like that big of a deal. But speaking of the Super Bowl again and coming full circle, what was the number one thing you learned from this Super Bowl matchup that the Eagles can take away from it? And let this be your final thoughts.
Okay. Well, what I would probably say the biggest thing to take away is I think that the Eagles shouldn't shy away, especially particularly quarterback Jalen Hurts. I think he shouldn't shy away from Devonta Smith as much. You saw during there were times last year where the team was behind or trying to mount a comeback, and then it just seemed like Devonta Smith was getting open late in the fourth quarter, and Hurts couldn't find him, and he was looking to dump off. He went to other options, and we know what happens. But you saw what happened late in that Super Bowl when they needed to make a play, when they needed to eventually scored that touchdown. They went to, Stafford looked and found a way to get the ball to Cooper Kupp. I think he went his last four completions or four attempt targets were to Kupp himself. Granted, they didn't have OBJ there because he was out and he had some other injuries, but I think that was the biggest lesson, the takeaway I would take from there. And then, also I think the importance of you need to apply pressure with those front four. Now, if Cincinnati does not take an offensive lineman with their first pick or trade for one, I don't know what they're doing because they need to protect Burrow. But you see the importance of having a front four get the rush by themselves and having an impact guy on the defensive line. And I know that's what Fletcher Cox is meant to be. Can he find another gear? I don't know. He's getting older a little bit, and you hope that he does. But even if they go to the draft or they sign a free agency, they need at least one of those defensive ends to show up and basically play at a higher level, because you see the impact that a good pass rush has when you rush four against a quarterback like Burrow. So those are the things I probably look for. I mean, what's your final thoughts, man?
Well, I think when you look at the opposite end of the spectrum is the offensive line. Offensive line play is so, so important. And I think this Super Bowl, Howie Roseman must have been watching this with a grin. Both teams, if Andrew Whitworth retires, both teams are going to need left tackles. And you don't necessarily want to go with the rookie left tackle when you're competing for Super Bowls and et cetera. So I think you got to feel really good if you're the Eagles because of that trade asset that is Andre Dillard. Listen, he got off to a terrible start to his career, but I thought he played relatively well in his five starts this season at left tackle. And I think that he will be a movable object as far as from a value standpoint. You know, if the Eagles want a third or maybe even, you know, a 2023 second round pick for him, I think they might be able to finagle that. The Colts need a left tackle again. Like, there are so many teams that need offensive tackle help that it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Andre Dillard. And the Eagles have so much young depth and they've all received, you know, a lot of playing time. So I think that's what's interesting as we see stuff moving forward. Remember, guys, you can sign up for Eagles Extra for 2 weeks free by going to nj.com/text. We love chatting with you. We love doing our Q&As with you. Make sure you hang out with us on Eagles Extra and sign up for 2 weeks free as we approach the combine and free agency. Also, make sure you subscribe to the No Huddle Show podcast wherever you get podcasts. We love getting your feedback. Give us 5 stars if you love it. Don't respond if you hate it. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. I always love when people say that. It's like, you know, you're inviting criticism, and that's fine. I'm happy. Give us 5 stars and then bash us, but just give us 5 stars. You know what I mean? It's like, but anyway, we love your feedback and be honest. For Chris, his laughter, and myself, Mike K, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys soon.